Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Josh Hallam. Welcome back to another Just Films and That new release review. This time around, I'm going to be reviewing Challengers. So as with the other ones, I'll keep this as spoiler-free as possible. But if you don't want to know anything at all, please make sure you listen to this after you've seen it. Whilst I've got your attention, if you could give us a little rating or review in whatever app you're listening to, then that would be massively appreciated. Okay, so Challengers then. In terms of the plot, you might have seen in the marketing and stuff, but the film follows the lives of three characters over a lengthy period as they become sort of more and more wrapped up and consumed in the world of elite tennis, as well as exploring their relationships with each other, their drives, their desires, and their dysfunctions, or as I prefer to think of it, sexy tennis. It stars Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Faist. I hope I'm saying that right. It's also directed by Luca Guadagnino of Call Me By Your Name fame, amongst other things. So, what did I think? Overall, I thought it was okay. I thought there was plenty to like in there. I did go into this with some trepidation, as I wasn't a huge fan of Call Me By Your Name, although I did possibly go into that with unfairly weighted expectations because I'd seen things about it being a life-affirming film, and that's probably not a fair pressure to put on any film. But anyway, I thought this was largely really, really well directed. It looks pretty incredible in terms of the costume and the framing and the colour and stuff like that, but the real triumph for me in terms of how it looked was the cinematography, particularly in the way that tennis was shot. So, I mean, so many sports films are let down by the way they're shot. I don't know what it is about mixing narrative with sport, but it happens time and time again, and that was certainly not the case with this. I thought they did some really interesting things with the camera, with the cinematography. One of the things I did like is that they primarily strayed away from shooting the tennis in the way that you are accustomed to seeing it on TV. If you think about behind the shoulder shot of the players, you don't get a lot of that apart from when they're actually on TV, which isn't very much in the actual world of the film. So you get a lot more action shots and some really interesting shots in there of sort of point of view shots where you're positioned as a player, where you've got their point of view, and even a couple of shots where you're positioned as the ball. So I thought it was really, really visually engaging. And then that translates because they then use that in some of the dialogue scenes as well, where the characters might be arguing or discussing things and the camera bounces between them as if you're watching them but you're also watching a tennis match. So it's back and forth, and I thought it worked really, really well. It sounds great as well, in particular the sound editing. I mean, it might sound trivial to say, but the tennis sounds amazing when they're playing it, so you can really feel the power and the effort every time a ball hits a racket. It sounds fantastic. I like the music for the most part as well. It's accompanied by a kind of pumping, pulsating dance score throughout, and it made everything feel really atmospheric. It's definitely one I might be adding to my gym or running playlist. There was points where it was a little bit overused in points, but I'll cover that a little bit later on. The three leads are all really good in it as well. So I have seen Josh O'Connor in The Durrells and The Crown and always thought he seemed like he was going to go on to big things. Mike Faist isn't someone I'm familiar with. I know he's done a couple of musicals, quite a lot of Broadway and stuff like that, but I thought he was good in this too. The main standout for me, as I think most people are saying, was Zendaya. So I know she's exceptionally charismatic, both as a performer and even when I've seen her interviewed and stuff. There's just something about her that, you know, she's a star. And she really owns every scene that she's in this. There's some scenes where she doesn't even do much apart from sit there looking graceful or powerful, but she's so sort of confident that I'd be tempted to say this is a real coming of age performance for her. And it's only strengthened by the fact that she also produced it, which is incredible to think she's still only 27. I'm not really sure if I'd have been up to producing a film when I was 27. But anyway, and finally as well, you know, you might have seen the marketing for the film. It is quite steamy. It's quite sexy in places too. And I thought that worked quite well. At one point in our screening, about half an hour in, a mother came in late with a girl who, she's in a school uniform, but she can't have been more than 5 or 6. And I honestly thought, oh God, no. A, it's a 15, so how she got in, and B, this cannot be the right film that you've brought your small child into, even if she really likes tennis. Anyway, it turns out she was in the wrong screen, and so the mum, you know, got to leave without having to answer any difficult questions. So crisis averted. In terms of the other side of the coin, I'd say for me, it was very much a film of two halves. The first half I thought was a lot stronger than the second. I thought the first half had some really interesting thematic ideas around things like elite mentality, especially with Zendaya's character having this story arc of this of being this hugely rated tennis prodigy who can do literally nothing but play and think about tennis. So how does that kind of elite mentality affect you in terms of your personal life and when you perhaps can't do that anymore? As I've said on the pod before, I'm quite a sports fan, particularly football. So I'm really interested in that idea of elite mentality and being so consumed by this one thing or this one idea or this one goal that if you suddenly have to stop doing it because of your body's aging or an imperfection or an injury, it's really interesting to me because I think it's so tied up in vulnerability and identity. And I thought there's definitely more to tell in terms of that human story, both generally but also in this as well. There's also some hints in the first half that there's some class issues with Zendaya's character having to fight for everything that she's got and sort of snobbery in tennis and even a little bit of racism in tennis as well. And whereas the two male characters, they come from privilege, and it just doesn't seem to cash that check it writes for itself. I'd like to have seen more of that explored, because the second half then just becomes about the two male characters' rivalry, and I thought it just became a little bit thematically muddy. You know, I've seen that before, and I think really for me, perhaps they could have picked one less theme to explore and focus more on those ideas in the first half. They do explore dysfunction as well, but and I'm all for that, as I've said before, but I feel like I've seen it done so many times before in recent TV and films with characters from privilege or wealth, and I'm just a bit sick of it. You know, it's not that wealthy and powerful people aren't subject to the same issues as the rest of us, but I just like to see a little bit more diversity in media around people who perhaps aren't as privileged. I mean, I suppose the other thing as well is there's a few things in this I think are a little bit played out. I can't tell you how many times in recent years I've seen characters arguing, or there's some sort of act of aggression, a slap, a spit, something like that, and a pause, and you think, I know they're going to kiss, and then I know they're going to do whatever afterwards, and it's just a little bit played out for me. I think it's a shame, because that first half I thought had some really interesting ideas, and the second half just sort of petered out a little bit thematically for me. Other than that, it does run a little bit long for me. I know I feel like a stuck record because I've said this before. I've got no issue with longer films, but with this, runs in at 2 hours 10, and there's a little bit of repetition, particularly in that second half again, where they do start of go into these slow-mo tennis scenes, a lot of needle drop with that pulsating soundtrack coming back. And I did like the soundtrack, but it just became a little bit tiresome before, towards the end even. So overall, I thought it was a well-made piece. It looked and sounded fantastic with some good performances and some good ideas in it, but I thought it could have chosen its thematic ideas and its or whatever a little bit more carefully. I particularly wish they carried on with some of the threads they'd sewed in the first half rather than it becoming about the rival between the two characters. So in the end, it felt a little bit bloated, a little bit overlong, and a little bit repetitive towards the end. However, as ever, you know, this is just my opinion. Go out there, give it a watch, and make up your own mind, because a lot of people are really raving about this film, so perhaps they saw something I didn't. But anyway, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.